The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I remember sitting in a dark basement, all the lights turned off, save the light of the screen at the front of the room. And the images on the screen, black and white and gray, the lighting alternated between dark grays and blacks, which began to sort of lull me to sleep, and bright white then that would flood the screen, startling me back to full awareness. And the lack of color didn't seem to hinder the film as much as help it, taking you way back in time, hundreds of years ago, almost 500 now, to be exact, on the eve of the Reformation. And there on that silvery screen was a small monk, one tiny man questioning the power, hypocrisy, wealth, and injustice of the medieval church, when saying, "By God's word, here I stand. I can do no other." Of course, you can probably guess by now that that basement wasn't at my home or in my friend's house, but rather it was the basement of the Lutheran church I attended in high school. And I'll admit, I was the nerdy church kid who, when my pastor told me that he felt like I'd got a decent confirmation education at my last church, having attended Wednesday evening confirmation classes from first grade through eighth grade, but that I really must see the Martin Luther movie in order to complete my studies. Without it, where would I be after all? So there I sat in that dark basement with a group of adults who were watching as part of their course to convert to Lutheranism. And no, I was not fortunate enough to have met Pastor Ziegler after the new Luther movie came out. To be honest, I'm not sure how he would have felt about that film anyway. So instead of the brightly colored, vibrant sets and Hollywood-esque filming of the Luther from 2003, we were on the slogging black and white, make every single stop and read every last sign tour of the Martin Luther of 1953. Although the film was under 2 hours, with Pastor Ziegler stopping to teach and to comment between the scenes, the viewing took a very lengthy 4 hours. And it was literally on film. I mean that. It was kept by Pastor Ziegler in precious canisters and fed through an old movie projector. And no, for those of you who are wondering, I am not joking. This is not a myth or a lie. This was how I willingly and under no obligation spent my free time in high school, which explains a lot, I'm sure, for all of you. I thought for a brief moment this week about asking Jamie to re-watch this film with me in preparation for this Reformation Day sermon, but then I thought the better of that plan if I wanted to preserve my marriage, so I didn't. As bored as I was that afternoon, there was something in that old film that filled Pastor Ziegler, who normally was a very serious man. It filled him with giddiness, excitement, and joy. Something that convinced him that seeing this film would make a monumental difference in my faith life. And that something, dear friends, was and still is grace, right? Pastor Ziegler, almost as obsessively as Father Martin before him, was consumed by grace. The idea of grace, the reality of grace, the beauty of grace, all of it surrounded Pastor Ziegler's life. It determined everything from what he did for a living, to how he treated people, to what kind of car he drove, to what he was planning to do tomorrow afternoon. Grace was behind it all. But for most of us, lifelong Lutherans, grace becomes something rote, something we have repeated so many times, it loses its impact and perhaps even its meaning. We've all said it so many times, right? We are saved by grace through faith, right? That's something we repeat often. And in fact, when I was more focused on youth ministry with some of my previous congregations, we used to sing this song, Saved by Grace Through Faith, right? And it was, saved by grace. And then you go, through our faith, right? And we would sing it over and over and over again, right? So good, so Lutheran. But sometimes I wonder if something was lost in all of that repetition. So perhaps there is something about returning to the story. And in Pastor Ziegler's favorite movie, as a newly ordained Catholic priest, Martin Luther's unpardonable sin that he confesses to his superior is this. He says, I cannot be saved because I cannot love God. Martin Luther says, I cannot love a God that condemns and hates, and errs on the side of vengeance and punishment. That's the key quandary for Luther as he begins his faith journey. And this quandary challenges Luther throughout his life as a monk and then as a scholar. The cold and distant God of the medieval church couldn't possibly be a God that could forgive Luther's sins. And this quandary would worsen as Luther would travel to Rome and would there see the relics and rituals established by the medieval church and requiring payment that supposedly would mediate between God and the people and finally grant them forgiveness. And it would worsen again when the church would decide on a program of indulgences, which would be sold to forgive sins and to protect loved ones from the trials of purgatory. The proceeds from these sales divided amongst the bishops and the archbishops and even the Pope himself. And Luther realizes that the Catholic Church of his time was finding more solace in wealth and worldly power than it was in God's forgiveness for itself and for all people. Now I realize that I'm starting to get a little bit boring. It didn't take long, right? Almost like a black and white movie. I'm just bringing up this brief history of Luther's Reformation and this small overview nowhere near the detail I could be going into. Because the conversation that developed between Luther and his supporters and the leaders of the medieval church and their supporters is a detailed and nuanced argument that requires much study. But at the heart of all of it is a simple and a profound truth which changed Luther's life and the lives of many who would follow after him. Luther, growing in his studies, reads and explores Scripture, discovering this passage, this key passage, which makes a man who was normally drab and constantly very serious, at least in the film version. It makes that man giddy then with excitement. And this verse is Romans 1:17, right before actually the reading that we read for this morning that's appointed for this Reformation Sunday. These are the words of Romans 1:17. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous person shall live by faith. And for Luther, with giddy excitement, he now says that it isn't pilgrimages or relics or indulgences that are necessary. But instead, a righteous person needs only faith, because God's grace is sufficient to cover all. But his superior then, in conversation with him, asks him, but what will you put in place of these works? Because these works bring comfort and assurance to the people that they are forgiven. And Luther's powerful response is that humans only need Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ evokes grace, which forgives all, and there is nothing else that is necessary. A truly powerful and transformative idea, a teaching that changed everything, transforming the world, faith, religion, life. And yet 500 years later, so much about grace gets lost in the shuffle, most especially in my trying to sum it up in 3 paragraphs this morning. We get bored easily and we let it fall by the wayside, sometimes thinking it's old or even outdated and relegating it to black and white movies from 1953. After all, what does a monk from 500 years ago have to do with us? We fail to see the pertinence of this dated message of the Reformation from 5 centuries ago, because, of course, the Catholic Church no longer sells indulgences, and it reformed itself long ago. And you'll note this morning, I've been very careful to say the medieval church, not the Catholic Church, because that is the church Luther was condemning, not today's Catholicism. Because we are in conversation now and even in agreement with the Catholic Church on many issues. And I would venture to guess that many of us are inspired by the humble and the holy leadership of Pope Francis. But for Catholics and Lutherans alike, and really those of any denomination, this message of the Reformation is as relevant today as it was 500 years ago, and it speaks to the hearts of those who dare to listen. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, as people in Luther's time had never read these words for themselves before, right? Imagine reading these words for the first time. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. Imagine if you had never heard that before and were reading it or hearing it for the first time. Imagine the joy, the giddiness, and the flame of excitement it would create in you. Grace has the power to change lives, to change destinies. Over my years of ministry, I have seen a woman sitting before me in tears over feeling God's forgiveness after believing herself beyond redemption. I have seen a gay couple overwhelmed at being welcomed into our church and at our table, surrounded by grace. I have sat with a man who was consumed by doubt, amazed that our community of faith did not turn him away, but invited him into conversation. I have heard from family members who thought their differences were beyond reconciliation, only to miraculously find a way through, relying on grace to lead them. I have watched as those of you filled with grace have gone out from this place in humble service to the world, seeking to transform others as you have been transformed. And in this, we see that grace is not simply about a simple ledger of forgiveness of sins, of what we have done wrong being forgiven us, but instead it is about how we are in relationship with God and in relationship to other human beings. All of us loved, all of us welcomed unconditionally by God. We are all indeed welcome in this place because of one thing, God's grace. That is the reason. We are all forgiven in this place because of God's grace. We are all sent out from here transformed because of God's grace. It is not anything we have done. but everything that God has done in us. Amen.